Hello and welcome to this week's Off the Bench podcast from the Premier League. I'm Lee from FPL Family.
I'm Gianni Battigi.
So Gianni, double game week 27 is in full swing. Couple of games still to go, so those red arrows still could be green, you never know. In their opening matches, both Alexis McAllister and Karu Mitoma both returned, although a captaincy blank for the 1.3 million managers who captained Brentford's Ivan Toney. That will have stung for those managers. And those managers will be hoping for a return in Brentford's next game against Southampton. Meanwhile, as they tend to do, Gianni, the single game week players have yet again proved that they shouldn't be overlooked. A brace for Harry Kane, three assists for Leandro Trossard meant that lots of FPL points on both sides of North London, as those two teams, Arsenal and Spurs, scored three goals in wins over Nottingham Forest and Fulham. Plenty to talk about this morning, Gianni. How is your week going?
Hi, mate. Yeah, not too bad. I don't like to check my overall rank or my game week rank mid-game week because there is still so much on it, but I did have a little sneak peek at my points.
Come on, you do that. Come on, I know you. Everyone checks their rank mid-game week. Come on.
I really try and avoid it when I can. But yeah, look, 48 points so far. I've still got my... Obviously, I'm heavily invested in Brighton and I'm heavily invested in Brentford. And the beauty with this double game week, often with double game weeks, we see the two teams we're heavily invested in playing each other in that second fixture. Well, this time round, it's different because Southampton and Palace play our two teams that we're heavily invested in Brentford and Brighton. So we can get returns and big returns from our players from both those teams rather than just one of them if they were saying going head to head. So I'm still confident of a green arrow, but very disappointing to see, which we knew we would this week, lots of bench points, not just for my team, but I've seen some big benches on FPL Twitter as well. A lot of Arsenal players on those benches in particular.
Well, this was the challenge, wasn't it? I think certainly for those of us that wildcarded in game week 26, and I was one of them, and I've been on podcasts and creating content all week about the fact that I transferred out Nunez and Salah on my game week 26 wildcard for the 7-0 win against Manchester United, which was, I have to say, pretty bittersweet for me. It was very, very sweet watching it, but it wasn't so great when I looked at my FPL team. And then going into 27, I thought, well, I've done my wild card. I've set my team up for the next few weeks. It looks pretty good in terms of the 15, but it gave me a massive benching headache. And I looked at my team coming into game week 27 into this week thinking, I've got to bench some Arsenal players here. And it felt very uncomfortable doing that away at Fulham. So I'm on 58 points so far. That's kind of been supercharged by McAllister captain. So I'm very happy to have captained Alexis McAllister, who popped up with the goal, didn't he, in the first game of this game week. Mitoma's chipping in. Harry Kane's chipping in with his two goals as well. So I can't complain. I'm on a green arrow, but I tell you what, it could have been so much better had I played the bench boost, Gianni. My first sub was Gabriel Martinelli, and that can hurt. You know, benching him, I knew was a risk. But Gabriel, 14 on my bench, second bench. I was not expecting the goal and the clean sheet. That stings like crazy, mate, I can tell you.
Yeah, have you worked out how many bench points you had? I'm guessing it's sort of mid-20s. I think I was 19. I did see a bench with 33 that wasn't boosted. So we had Kepa, Watkins, Gabriella, Martinelli on one team I saw.
It's going to hurt, isn't it? It's going to hurt. I haven't worked it out, but Gabriel's 14. Martinelli's 8, so what's that, 22? And then kind of ably assisted by Ward and Botman with two each. So 26, that would have been a good bench boost, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I always think if you hit 20 on your bench boost, you're happy. For me, whilst I had points on my bench, I wasn't too disappointed with it, knowing I was never seriously considering it. I know there were a lot that were kind of 51, 49. So yeah, I don't know. Was it actually something you were close to doing? Or have you always looked ahead to game week 29, which is only a couple of weeks away, which we know is going to be a really big double game week, to think that's going to be the week I bench boost? Have you got your very sort of loose chip strategy around that bench boost in 29?
Well, yes, I have. And those were this game week and 29. I was thinking I'm going to play the bench boost in one of these 2 weeks. And yes, I was close to it, because I look at my team for game week 29 and I think, yeah, that's the biggie, isn't it? That's the biggie on the horizon with all the double game weeks. And I'm thinking, okay, play the bench boost as well and kind of maximize the points in that week. But I couldn't shake the feeling that Arsenal were going to do well against a Paulinho-less Fulham at Craven Cottage at the weekend. And so it proved. So I was kind of stuck those two guys on my bench thinking, well, if Martinelli hurts me, I deserve it, right? I deserve it. But the Gabriel clean sheet and a goal, that really, really stung. So there we are. I should have played it, probably, but only time will tell, because I now will play it, I'm pretty sure, in game week 29, holding on for that game week. So you know, no pressure, game week 29 bench boost, but you got to beat 26 points.
Yeah, and there'll be loads listening that perhaps are looking at the next week or two thinking, is this the week to free hit, or when am I using my wild card, for those that haven't? And obviously, we're on the horizon here of what's going to be a good size blank game week. I think we've got 7 fixtures for game week 28. How are you navigating the 28 to 29 double? I mean, free transfer should be enough. And we're looking at getting 10 players out, maybe 11. We'll speak later in the show about what we're doing with Haaland. We're obviously going to have to look back at the weekend just gone and look at Chelsea and Aston Villa assets and what we do with Liverpool. But for 28, are you comfortable going in without a free hit?
Yeah, I think so. I'm going to keep the free hit in the back pocket, I think. I can see why managers would want to play it. And I think if you're sort of down in the sort of 6 or 7 players in your team, then that is absolutely free hittable. I've got currently 9 available and I've got 2 free transfers. And like you say, I do feel kind of backed into a corner a little bit in terms of my transfers and who I've got to transfer out. It does feel as if Haaland might be a transfer out. But listen, we'll save that conversation for later on in the pod. But the chips that I've got left, yes, bench boost in 29, I think I'm going to play. But the free hit, I'm not going to play it in 28. I'm going to save it for later in the season. How do you feel about the free hit in 28, Gianni? Have you still got it? And how many players do you think is a kind of minimum for FPL managers to have before you would consider playing it?
Yeah, a few weeks back, I was looking at 28 as when I would free hit. And I wasn't looking to use a wild card, which I ended up using a couple of weeks ago. And I think those FA Cup results, we saw Leicester be knocked out. We saw Spurs and Southampton. That fixture went ahead and there was a very low chance that would happen in game week 28. So there's more fixtures in game week 28 than we probably thought. And therefore, no need for me to use that free hit. Mm. I'm very happy getting 10 out. I might stretch to 11. It depends. I've got 2 free transfers. I know many do. Currently, I'm on 9 with 2 free transfers, so I can get to 11 if I don't have any other players get flagged without taking a hit. So that's where I think I'll end up. And it should be a fairly good week. I hope to be up on the field because I think the average FPL manager is probably fielding sort of 9, 10 players. So if you can field 11, you should be up. And look, we're always looking with that with FPL, aren't we? We're looking for those small marginal gains, how you can be up on the field by, you know, those extra couple of appearance points for an extra player who you're having a double game week or an extra player you have in a blank game week. So all is good. I feel like the chip strategy is fairly simple for me, like you. Bench boost 29, look to free hit around one of the bigger doubles or possibly a blank later in the season. I think we're likely to have a blank around 32 and 34 and 7 could be doubles. So that's where I'm at.
Yeah, and last time I was here, Gianni, I was on with FPL Focal. I was here with Oscar on the Off the Bench podcast a couple of weeks ago, and he and I were talking about learning our lessons. I think we'd all gone in quite big on a previous double game week, and actually it was the single game weekers that done pretty well. And again, what did we learn from that? Absolutely nothing in my case, because here we are again talking about Harry Kane getting 13 and Haaland getting the goal and the Arsenal assets outside of Saka doing pretty well. So I've not learned my lesson. I've gone heavy again on the double game week and I feel like I've missed out on some points. Do you think that, I'll ask you the same question that I asked Oscar a couple of weeks ago, do we get caught up in this double game week fever a bit too much? And should we be focusing a bit more on the single game weekers? And then my final question is, will you get caught up in double game week fever again in game week 29? I know I will.
Yeah, we make the same mistakes as FPL managers time and
Absolutely.
Again. But are they mistakes or is hindsight a wonderful thing and we can go, oh, there was a few blanks there. And I do love a double game week player. And we always tend to captain a double game week player over good single game week options. You know, Harry Kane would have been the standout option this week, but no one captained Kane, not really. So yeah, I think we will continue to make the mistakes, but we're probably right to, and maybe it's not a mistake. We get 2 bites at the cherry. We get what should be 180 minutes versus 90 minutes. And therefore, I like those odds and I like having double the chance if it's on the right teams and on the right players. So this time round, we're heavily committed, for example, on Brighton and Brentford. I think that decision will be a good one off the back of what I hope will be some good points on Wednesday night. So as long as we're committing to the right teams and the right players, I always think we're good there. Any player that's playing for a mid-table team or a top half team, I think you've got a good chance and points. When we see ourselves committing to double game week players from kind of relegation threatened teams, that's when I think we've got the issue, and therefore always consider your single game week options over them.
Yeah, you're right, Gianni. So let's rip the band-aid off a little bit here for me then. So Bournemouth 1, Liverpool 0. Let's get stuck into some of these games. And listen, we might as well start. The best good a place as any to start. So Liverpool following up the 7-0 thrashing of Manchester United with a 1-0 defeat at the Vitality at the weekend. I've got plenty of opinion here, but I'm interested in yours, Gianni. Liverpool, of course, blanking next game week in 28. But then doubling, and a difficult looking double, Manchester City away, Chelsea away. For me, it's the nature of the games being away, which is the problem from a Liverpool perspective, not travelling well, Klopp's boys so far this season. Talk to me about Liverpool assets. If you were a Salah owner, if you kind of bought him in thinking, well, I'm going to bench him in 28, ready for that double, on the back of the 7-0 win, thinking, well, Liverpool are back, and I guess ditto for Darwin, what would you do with them now?
It's time to sell Liverpool. I think it really is. Knowing they have a blank game week in 28, but then, yes, they have a double in 29, but it's Man City and Chelsea, both on the road. You just said how bad they've been away. Two away games in that double. It couldn't be much of a worse double than Man City and Chelsea away. And then even game week 30, you know, it's Arsenal. It's a really tricky run Liverpool have got here. Knowing they don't play in 28, knowing their assets are expensive, it's a very easy sell for me in an attempt to try and fill 10 or 11 men for that blank in 28.
Yeah, I agree with you, Gianni. And there's something that Jurgen Klopp doesn't like about lunchtime kickoffs either. I think Liverpool have played 5 times now at 12:30 on a Saturday, lost 4, drawn 1. And that was the game between, it was your team, Johnny, wasn't it? Chelsea, Liverpool, Chelsea at Anfield, which was a less than entertaining 0-0 draw, wasn't it? So there's something about lunchtime that Liverpool don't like. The Man City game coming up, where Liverpool play Man City, is again at lunchtime, I think. So another opportunity for Liverpool to kind of be a bit lethargic and not put in a performance that we would expect or that we've seen in recent times against Manchester United. Do you think there's any credibility, Johnny, in maybe if you don't want to invest in Salah and invest all your FPL pounds there, could you come down to a Gakpo, Jota, maybe even Luis Diaz coming back to training? Or are you pretty much a hard sell on Liverpool?
I'm a hard sell on Liverpool attack, primarily because their players are expensive, but also with that blank in mind. But then we also consider who is that first choice front three. And I did think a couple of weeks back when Jota was coming back, I thought we would see a first choice front three of Salah, Darwin and Jota. But then Hakpo played so well against Man United. And you think, okay, maybe it's Darwin, Hakpo and Salah and Jota as an impact sub. And then Luis Diaz is going to be in the mix in the not too distant. So I think other than Salah, it's really hard to say I've got myself a 90 minute man here because there is strength and depth there. But also it's not an attack scoring bundles of goals. If we take away that 7-0 win versus Man United, they've hardly been free-flowing scoring bags of goals. So it's actually the Liverpool defence that I would maybe consider on holding one or two. If you're invested in a Trent or a Robbo, maybe you think there's still upside there. And yes, they conceded to Bournemouth, Liverpool, but they are off the back of what I think was 5 clean sheets in a row in the Premier League.
Yes, true enough.
So there's been some points there at the back. And obviously, there's always upside with Trent Alexander-Arnold and Robertson. But the attacking players, the midfielders and the forwards, are very easy sell for me. I don't know about, does your club bias get in the way there, Lee? Or do you think you would also be moving them on?
No, I think I would be moving them on, even defensively. I mean, Man City, Chelsea and Arsenal next in the Premier League doesn't scream clean sheets to me. So I think if I had a Trent or I had a Robbo, I'd be moving them on, particularly with that blank in 28. And I think from an FPL perspective, that's where I'm going to be focusing my efforts for the upcoming game week 28 is on those teams that have not just got a fixture in 28, but also double then in 29. And there's a kind of small pool of teams there, isn't there? Like Villa and Chelsea and Newcastle, Brentford, Leicester. There's a few of them that we can pick from. So rather than spend too much time talking about Liverpool, who don't have that fixture in 28 and then have a difficult looking double game week in 29, I'd rather talk about your team, Gianni. Chelsea seem to be getting their act together a little bit. Do have a fixture in 28 and not just that, a good-looking fixture on paper at home to Everton. And then 2 good-looking home games in 29 against Aston Villa and, I'm afraid to say, my team again, Liverpool. So 3 home games over the next 2 game weeks. We've got to be looking at Chelsea, haven't we?
Yeah, I mean, when we look at the teams playing in 28 and doubling in 29, as you say, there's a handful of teams. Often, with this case, knowing it's the FA Cup clashes in game week 28, the teams that we expect to see go far in the FA Cup are blanking. So the likes of Liverpool and Man City and Man United. So when we look at the pool of teams that not only play in 28, but double in 29, it's actually not your elite teams. It's not the teams that have a huge amount of FPL interest. So yeah, sure, it's Villa and Bournemouth and Brentford. Leeds and Leicester are in there as well. And I think Forest and Newcastle are. But Chelsea look like the standout team if we look at the last couple of games and we look at some of the threatening FPL options they have. So I really like the next 3 for Chelsea, knowing they're all home games. Huge advantage there. And Chelsea at home, if we take their last couple of performances, well, they beat Leeds last time out in the Premier League in game week 26. But also that performance against Dortmund in the Champions League, at home was Chelsea's best performance under Potter.
It's a good performance. Yes, it was. Yeah, I agree.
And the difference, what we've seen in those two home games, they're the two games where Potter switched straight away to a 3-4-3. And Chelsea, this is a squad built for 3-4-3. And they look so much more comfortable playing it. And we've seen two really strong performances. And again at Leicester, the away game in Leicester at the weekend. So that's three games on the trot where Chelsea have had a 3-4-3 and looked really, I don't want to say comfortable, but it looked really good. They've looked like their old selves. There's a bit of goal threat. There's definitely a clean sheet threat. And with that, there's some really good standout options. And as always with this formation, we look at the wing backs. And if Reece James is fit, he's a good option. But knowing Chilwell is fit and Chilwell is assisting for fun, he's a really nice option. I think many, myself included, will be moving to Chilwell in game week 28, but possibly even a Felix or a Havertz too. I think there's a comfortable shout there to say we should be eyeing up one, if not two, Chelsea assets for 28 and 29.
Yeah, I noticed actually Chilwell getting forward in the way that we're used to with Chilwell, the way that we've seen in the past, right? And I think you're right about Reece James. I don't know whether you can trust him in terms of his fitness at the minute. You might be able to give me more insight or give the listeners more insight than I on that one, Diani. But you look over the other side of the pitch and you think Chilwell, and he took that goal so well, didn't he? What a goal against Leicester City. So, so good. I think he had a very low XG, by the way, 0.01 that XG from what I saw on the stats. So he was a high XG overperformer.
I love that you can see that now on the site, Lee. I love that we can see the XG on each player on the FPL app and site. I think it's really useful to have access to that data straight away.
It is. It's brilliant. But despite him being an XG overperformer, let's say, so maybe, you know, if you just purely look at the stats and say maybe he was a little bit lucky to get that goal based on the fact that it was a difficult chance, I would, you know, swing it the other way and say from an eye test perspective, he was getting forward in that 3-4-3, as you suggested, and he's in all the sorts of positions that you want him to be in from an FPL perspective. I like him. I really do. And if I link it back to the conversation that we had around Trent and Robertson and maybe the blank in 28, and then a difficult looking double game week, it is hard to sell those Liverpool assets ahead of a double game week in 29, because we know what Trent can do on any given day. We know what Robbo can do on any given day. But I look at those three Chelsea home games and I just think that switch feels very much on for me. If you've got a Robbo or a Trent, a move to Chilwell seems like a good move.
Yeah, for sure. And look, he's well priced. He's 5.9 million. He's 4% as well. So he's a real differential.
It's good differential,
Chilwell.
Right? Yeah.
Great differential. And look, he got the goal against Leicester. But he's also had a couple of assists. So against Leeds, he got the assist. And then against Dortmund, he got the assist for the penalty that was won. So he's looking sharp. And unlike Reece James, yes, Chilwell has been out for a very long time. And he has picked up a few serious injuries over the years. But when he's fit and playing, he seems to be a little bit of a fitness monster where he can continue to play sets of 90 twice a week if needed. Yes. And Chelsea obviously will be in the Champions League quarterfinals, which will take place after that double game week. But still, we have to bear that in mind that the fixture congestion could affect them. And it will definitely affect Reece James. If Reece James is fit, do I back him to play Saturday, Wednesday? No, he'll miss a fair few games in that sort of schedule. Well, someone like a Chilwell perhaps won't. So for the minutes guarantee we get with Chilwell, he would be my favoured pick. Also, he's on about half the set pieces. If we look at the weekend just gone, Chelsea have a fair few set piece takers. And depending on who's in the 11 that week, you just don't know who's going to be on them. But it's good to see when Chilwell's in the team, he's sharing set pieces. So again, he has that threat from some of those in-swinging corners.
Yeah, I agree with you, Johnny. And João Felix as well. A bit unlucky not to get any FPL points, I thought, at the weekend. Seems to be becoming a bit of a favourite for Potter up there in that number nine position. And if I look at how I've set my team up on the wild card in game week 26, I kind of knew I was going to have this dilemma that I'm about to talk you through for game week 28. I've put all my Brighton players on the bench for the upcoming game week 28 because, of course, they double in 29. So I'm going to bench them. They'll come back in for 29. Happy with that. Same with Rashford. Rashford currently is in, I haven't got any more spaces left on the bench, so he's in my starting 11, but I don't want to sell him because he's got a double game week in 29. The player that is currently in my 11 for game week 28 and blanking, but doesn't have a double game week in game week 29 is Erling Haaland. And the reason I wanted to have this conversation with you now, Gianni, is João Felix is one of, and we'll speak about some of the others that I've got on my radar, but João Felix is one of the players that I'm thinking about replacing Erling Haaland with. Now, give me your view. Am I mad to be selling Haaland here? Should I be keeping him given that, you know, listen, they've got a game week 29 game against Liverpool, which is going to be a huge game. He obviously turns up for the big games. Liverpool defensively good over the last few weeks. Only one goal conceded in the last six. But before that, not that great, as we've seen over the course of the season. I just can't shake the feeling that Haaland over the next two game weeks has got one game, whereas João Félix has got three home games. And there's others that we're going to discuss as well. But am I mad to be thinking about selling Haaland is the first question.
I don't think you are. And I think it's something I'm going to do. I've been eyeing this up for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I know. Doesn't feel right though, does it? I feel really nervous about doing it.
It feels so wrong. But the beauty of it is we can buy him back in game week 30, where yes. We can either sell the forward we've just bought in, or we might have someone like a Tony we might be looking to sell or whatever. So there's a few options there to bring him back in easily in game week 30, as long as we leave the money in the bank. And remember, in game week 30, he does play Southampton. So we are definitely going to want him.
You're going to want him, I think, yeah.
But also, we don't have money tied. I don't have money tied up in him, which I was quite surprised at. Yes, he had a big jump at the start of the season, but I think if I sell him, I get 12.2 and I'll be buying him at a similar rate. So I think maybe he missed a couple of games earlier in the season, didn't he? And I think I may have sold him short term, and therefore I haven't got money tied up in him. So another reason where, for me, I can sleep easy at night knowing I can sell him, buy him back in 2 weeks' time, still have him for Southampton.
I don't think you can ever sleep easy at night without Haaland in your team. What is his ownership? It's like still north of 80%, right? I mean, a lot of FPL managers have got this guy.
I think it is, but Man City do well in these big games, but I don't think Haaland's record against the top sort of four or five teams in the country has been that good yet at Man City. So again, that Man City-Liverpool game, I hope it's a really tight, low-scoring affair. And yes, look, he could go and get two goals. But if he does, you're backing yourself with a player that's playing three times versus Haaland's once. So as long as you're getting six in appearance points versus two in appearance points straight away before we look at any goals, assists or bonus. So look, there's good options. If there wasn't any good forward options, I'd look to ride it out. I'd keep Haaland and I wouldn't want to justify the transfers on selling him and then bringing him back two moves. But if there's forwards performing well that are catching our eye, then we have to consider them. And because Chelsea are now playing much better, there's two very good options in the Chelsea team. And then we'll also perhaps talk about an option or two elsewhere because, Ollie Watkins, very good form, and Villa are one of those teams that play in 28 and double in 29. But if we look at the Chelsea fixtures, Lee, Felix a couple of weeks ago, I would have said, yeah, he's probably the standout. But now Havertz is scoring goals, and we know Havertz is on penalties, and we know Havertz is getting 90 minutes. And again, we're talking about someone that doesn't pick up too many knocks, and he can be a bit of a fitness monster in Kai Havertz. If I look at the last three Premier League games, 90 minutes, 90 minutes, 90 minutes. You look at Felix, and he's always coming off. Now, is he coming off because it's tactical, because there's a lot of strength there on the Chelsea bench? Or is he picking up knocks? And, he came off at half-time versus Leicester. We don't know. He's not currently flagged, but I wouldn't be surprised if that wasn't tactical and he picked up a little knock. He's perhaps a little bit still slight and he's getting used to the physicality of the Premier League. Remember, this is one of the most physical leagues in the world. He's played in Portugal and played in Spain, perhaps not so aggressive. So for the 90-minute nature that we get with Kai Havertz and the penalty appeal, I think it will be Havertz I look at. They're very similar in price, Felix and Havertz. But that front three does feel settled now. If they're all fit, it's Havertz, it's Felix and it's Sterling. And they're playing very well together. And the link-up between Havertz and Felix in particular looks so, so strong. And finally, I think Kai Havertz has got almost a strike partner, which he's never really had at Chelsea. But he's got someone on his wavelength. These are two young elite players. I really think so. We forget João Félix was transferred out of Benfica to Atletico for like 115 million euros. Like, this was the top kid in the world to go and buy. And Havertz came with a very similar reputation. So I think they're on a very similar wavelength. And I really think this is going to be a good combination for Chelsea. So whichever one you go for, I'd like to think over the next three games, both are going to get points. But look, there's also someone like Ollie Watkins. I mean, how do you compare someone like Watkins to one of the Chelsea forwards? Because perhaps Villa don't look like they've got as high a ceiling as Chelsea in terms of goals. But you do know there's the talisman theory with Watkins. He's going to, if they score, he's going to be involved.
Yeah, he's in the form of his life, isn't he, Ollie Watkins? I think that's, what, six goals in his last seven games or something like that. And he's really ticking over from an FPL perspective. You can really rely on him as the kind of, like you say, talisman for Aston Villa. It's that Bournemouth game in 28, isn't it? It's that Bournemouth game. Bournemouth at home. We know that Bournemouth are just coming off the back of a very good result at home to Liverpool. And at home, they have proved to be a little bit of a tough nut to crack. But whenever they go away, they don't travel quite so well. So, Ollie Watkins home to Bournemouth. And then in 29, okay, a couple of difficult on paper looking away games with Chelsea and Leicester. But still, I think you'd back Ollie Watkins to do the business. Like I say, 6 in the last 7. He's bang on form. And Unai Emery seems to be getting a real tune out of that team. That kind of wealth of options that he had in midfield with Coutinho and Buendia. He's got obviously Danny Ings up front as well. Jacob Ramsey, I think, is also cementing his space in that team as a vital cog in the Unai Emery setup. He's getting a tune out of them. So I wouldn't want to put you off Ollie Watkins at all. The Chelsea boys are absolutely on my radar. Do I think that they've got a higher ceiling than Ollie Watkins? I'm not so sure, you know. I'm not so sure. I mean, Ollie Watkins, you could easily see him bracing against Bournemouth in 28. It's just those two away games. It's that Chelsea and Leicester away games in 29 versus the Chelsea boys have got Aston Villa and Liverpool at home. It's difficult to kind of say which of those two sets of fixtures look best. I think I would probably just about lean towards Ollie Watkins, you know, because of the fact that he seems to be that focal point in that Aston Villa team right now. Like you say, he's the one you can rely on for goals. Whereas I think in that Chelsea team, they're a little bit more spread out. What do you think? Ollie Watkins, worth a pick?
Definitely worth a pick. I'm still going to be going towards Chelsea, though. There's just something in me. I think as a fan, I want to...
Just the club bias kicking in, Gianni. Come on.
I think so. And and it does sometimes cost me. You know, I've owned Kai Havertz a lot in the last couple of seasons. When Kai Havertz is playing number 9, I like him in this Chelsea team. And I know he doesn't score many goals, but he's one for me that always passes the eye test. And I don't know if I watch him with rose-tinted glasses. I've got some very fond memories of captaining him and him doing well. I've got some bad ones too. I think this season, this will be the third time I buy him. But seeing how he's played in recent weeks, I think I've seen enough to go there. I do think Watkins is a nice option, but I don't like that double game week for Aston Villa in 29. I think it's two tricky fixtures there. I think going away to Chelsea and then away to Leicester. And that Leicester-Villa game is a big Midlands derby.
It is, yeah.
Leicester fans will be up for that.
Yeah.
So yeah, the better 28 fixture, home to Bournemouth, but the weaker double 29. So I think for me, it will be Havertz. But, you know, a lot can change in a week, can't it? And we're talking about players that we might sell that don't play in 28. And you mentioned the three Brighton players you own. And look, I can see why everyone would want to keep their three Brighton because they double in 29. They play Brentford and Bournemouth. But the Brighton midfielders aren't going anywhere for me. I've got two of them. But I do own a Stupinan as well. I think you might do as well, Lee.
I do, yeah.
He's travelling to Australia in the international break. And he's got two fixtures in Australia. And I do wonder if that 29 fixture against Brentford is therefore in jeopardy for him. And do I maybe look to sell him in 28, Estupinan, and bring in Chilwell for Estupinan, for example. So he's the only other one that has a nice double in 29 that perhaps I'm looking to sell. So Haaland is one I think I'll sell, possibly a Brighton defender.
Yeah, I must admit, I've looked at that as well. I saw that stat actually in terms of Estupinan and his travel. Now, these guys are elite athletes and they're not flying on the same planes that you and I are flying on, right? They're traveling in pretty more salubrious planes than you and I. But nevertheless, only 2 or 3 days to recover from a major international fixture and then the travel on top of it does feel as if that Brentford game potentially is a game that he may miss out on or may not be ready for. You're right. And then if you couple that with the fact they don't play in 28 Brighton, you're right. I'm not going to move the midfielders around. I think McAllister, we'll talk about him in just a second, right? But from an Estupinan perspective, I could see me moving him on to Chilwell. You know, I could see that happening. Or to maybe one of the Aston Villa defenders. We'll maybe come to those in a second. But yeah, I think I'm probably more likely to keep Estupinan and focus on the Haaland sell. I'm probably more likely to go there. And we've spoken about the Chelsea boys. We've spoken about Watkins. There are some other options as well. We haven't touched on Alexander Isak, who played very well for Newcastle yesterday. Even Bamford scored a nice goal at the weekend, didn't he? And he's got Arsenal and Forest in the game week, the double game week 29. So the Arsenal game, obviously difficult going away to the Emirates, but then home to Forest. Feels a bit punty though at this stage with Bamford. So I think I'm still leaning towards Watkins or the Chelsea boys. But the Estupinan thing, yeah, I think we've got to wait to see what De Zerbi says about his fitness and availability in the lead up to some of those fixtures. But could be one that I go to. Let's talk briefly about the Brighton midfielders, though, because obviously they've still got one game left to play in game week 27. They've got the blank in 28. And then, of course, they've got the really nice looking double game week in 29 with Brentford and Bournemouth. I'm assuming your Brighton midfielders are going nowhere, right? You're going to be benching them and then bringing them in for that nice looking game week in 29.
Yeah, and if I did sell Estupinan, it would give me that option come game week 29 if I wanted to go triple Brighton midfield.
Oh, wow.
That's part of my thinking is if I want to jump on a McAllister, because it's McAllister I don't own. I think if you own McAllister and Mitoma, for example, you wouldn't be thinking, oh, maybe I need to get to triple Brighton midfield to bring in Solly March, who hasn't been scoring the points. Mm. But knowing I'm missing out on the one that's scoring a lot of the points, McAllister, as we love him in that number 10 role as FPL managers, he looks like a completely different FPL option playing in the number 10. We know he has the penalty threat, but it's the runs into the box and the underlying numbers are absolutely there for him. He is the standout Brighton pick, and fair play, Lee, because you not only brought him in on wildcard, but he was your captain pick this game week, right?
It was the ownership, really, that swung it for me. And I could see a lot of FPL managers going to Tony. I could definitely see that. And listen, that, you know, not captaining Tony might still come back to bite me because he got a nice fixture in his second game in 27, isn't he, away at Southampton. But I thought, well, I've got him in my team and I've got Karu Mitoma as well. So if either of those two go off, I'm kind of covered. I've hedged my bets a little bit. And then I looked at McAllister's ownership. It's still really low. It's still way sub 10%, I think 6 or 7% at time of recording, right? So I thought, if I stick the armband on him, that is going to be massive gains if he gets something. And you're right. Since De Zerbi's played him in that more advanced number 10 position, since Adam Lallana, unfortunately, has got that injury and means that he's out of the team, he's pushed McAllister forward. Now, McAllister still is doing a fair amount of running back and tracking back and a little bit of the, if not the defensive central midfield role. He's kind of sitting in that central midfield and orchestrating stuff. But whenever the opportunity arises, he's bursting into the box in a kind of Frank Lampard-esque way, if I can make that comparison. And I don't see De Zerbi changing it, and I don't see McAllister changing it either, right? He's got something that's working really well. Why change it? So for one of the smaller guys on the pitch to pop up with a header at the weekend was pretty phenomenal. The icing on the cake is he takes the penalties as well. Yeah, listen, I don't see any reason not to get McAllister. Now, clearly, you're not going to do it ahead of a blank in 28. But if you've got one or two free transfers, or indeed you're playing to a wild card in 29, yeah, I'd be looking to get him. Whether I'd be going for three Brighton across the middle, Gianni, I don't know. I think that seems like quite a heavy investment. I have to say, I haven't got Solly March. I've got the other two. Solly March owners desperately unlucky. Desperately, desperately unlucky. Not just last week, because his underlying stats in game week 26 were good enough for him to get some FPL points. But then in 27, for the Harrison own goal, which he nearly maybe got a touch on, was given as a goal, then not. You know, then he didn't get an assist. I mean, I don't know what else Solly March owners have got to do to get some points out of this guy, but desperately, desperately unlucky, right?
You wouldn't be an FPL manager if you didn't think you were one of the unlucky ones all the time. And I am one of those guys right now. So I've owned Solly March for 7 weeks, Lee. And in that time, I think I've had maybe one goal or one attack and return. But as you know, the underlying numbers in the last 7 weeks have been phenomenal.
Absolutely.
He has been points dodging for almost 2 months.
You can't sell him. You definitely can't sell him.
I can't. And that's why on wildcard, I went with March over McAllister, because I was like, I've already owned this guy. I can't drop him now, because I considered it. But look, the reason I like the triple Brighton midfield, if I can get there, is Brentford and Bournemouth in that double 29. It's a really nice double. It's Brentford at home, Bournemouth away. But the way Brighton are attacking, you expect goals against everyone. It's also worth noting, Brighton are owed a fair few fixtures.
That's true, yeah.
So in terms of double game weeks after 29, they're going to get a couple. They might get two or three double game weeks still between now and the end of the season. So yes, they've got some tricky fixtures. In game week 30, it's Spurs, then it's Chelsea, then it's City. But they are a team that score against anyone, so I don't really mind. As you know, Liverpool found out in the FA Cup, was that a 3-0 win off the top of my head? So yeah, Brighton are a team I want to continue my support with. I just don't know if it's going to be two or three midfielders. It's certainly going to be a minimum of two the way they're playing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Let's take a quick look ahead to game week 28 then, Gianni. We've kind of skirted around the edges in terms of what my team looks like. How are you set? How many have you currently got in your starting 11?
Yeah, so like you, I'll be benching. If I've got three Brighton and Rashford on the bench if I sell Haaland.
Yes.
So that gives me, what does that give me? That gives me 10 men with my Haaland replacement. If I sell a Stupinan to say Chilwell, for example, that gives me 11.
Mm.
So I'm tempted to do that. I really am tempted to do that. And I've got money
in
the
bank. Have you got the two free transfers to do it as well, Johnny?
Yeah, I've got two free transfers and I've got a fair few million in the bank. So money, and obviously if we're selling Haaland, money's not going to be an issue. We do need to bear in mind, we need that money in the bank come game week 30.
Yeah, don't go splashing the cash elsewhere, right? You want that kept in the bank for 30 to bring him back.
Honestly, getting him back for 30 for Southampton will be an absolute must. And I hope those that sell him remember that. So yeah, I think that's where I'm at. I mean, captaincy will be split as always. And I like that. I love a game week where there's a fair few captaincy options some out options. There. I think it becomes a more boring game when we just captain Haaland every week and he's got 80% ownership already. So whilst this week with my Tony captaincy over yours, McAllister captain shout hasn't gone well so far, I like the fact at least there's a very good spread. So even if you get it wrong, it doesn't cost you too hard either.
Yes. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, good options. Crystal Palace go to the Emirates. So maybe that Arsenal fixture is the standout for those that have got a Martinelli or a Saka. I think that's probably where I'm looking. Harry Kane goes to Southampton, but I much prefer Spurs at home than I do away. So yeah, there's good options and I'm well set. I think the free hitters will have a better team. Of course they will, but I don't think it will be massively better. And I don't actually think we're going to see a ton of free hits now either.
No.
So yeah, how are you shaping up?
Yeah, okay, I think. Yeah, so similar dilemmas, I guess, in terms of, yeah, Rashford and my three Brighton players, I think, are not going to play. Haaland, as crazy as this sounds, because I didn't think we'd be doing a podcast this season talking about selling Erling Haaland, just particularly before the World Cup, I just thought, well, this guy's just going to stay in our teams the whole season, right? But we have a schedule that lends itself to selling him. You're right. You want him back for 30, no doubt about it. So I will be keeping the money in the bank. But I think I'm going to sell him, you know. And I think I'm probably going to go to Ollie Watkins. That's my kind of early thoughts on it. I just can't get past that Bournemouth game in 28. I just think it looks really good. And I think it gives you potentially a captaincy option for 28 as well. Although I have to say, currently in my team set up as it is on the app, I've got Bukayo Saka captained. I don't know how comfortable I feel about that, though, as in terms of him captaincy. That's now two games in a row where Arsenal have scored three goals and he's not been involved. So Saka is a little bit, I wouldn't say he's a worry in my team. He's one of the players that I bought in on my wildcard in 26 because I didn't have him and I felt like I needed him in my team. But yeah, back-to-back games now. No returns for Saka. I don't know whether that is something that is going to put me off captaining him for next week. Might do.
That right-hand side at Arsenal, it's always been dangerous. And the White and Saka combination is a good one. But the left-hand side at the moment looks way more dynamic. The way Trossard and Martinelli are rotating. So one's playing left, one's playing in the nine channel. But they rotate a lot. And it must be so hard to defend against. And we've seen Trossard and Martinelli causing all sorts of problems. Versus when Nketiah was the nine and Martinelli was out on the left, Martinelli didn't look dangerous at all because it was very much a set position for him. And a little bit like when Gabriel Jesus is in the team, and he'll be in the team very soon. We know he's back and it was good to see him get on at the weekend. Martinelli and Jesus rotate very well. So again, like that left-hand side at Arsenal might just be the most dangerous. The appeal with Saka, as we know, is Arsenal do get a fair few pens and he's on them. He also has some of that set piece threat and he's also incredibly good at cutting in on that left foot. We've seen a lot of goals going towards that back post as Saka does that so well. But I do think the value's there with Martinelli. And if you're someone like me that owns both Saka and Martinelli, this week I benched Martinelli and picked Saka over him. I think if I was going into a very similar game week where I was benching one and picking the other on form, the way Martinelli's scoring goals for fun, I'd probably pick Martinelli over Saka. So it'll be really interesting as the weeks go on.
I probably would do the same.
Yeah. So. And look, in game week 29, we're both saying we're going to bench boost. We're probably going to have our Arsenal assets on the bench. So what we need in 29 is our Arsenal assets to perform well against Leeds at home.
Yeah, it remains to be seen whether that bench boost in 29 can outscore the bench boost in the current game week, right?
It's all on Arsenal.
I honestly wish I could go back in time and press the bench boost button. The Gabriel goal really has meant that was the right decision for me, I think. But listen, bench boost 29 might be the one. No pressure on that chip 29, but you've got to outperform this week.
Yeah, I think I'm with you there. Look, before we close, there's one midfielder we've not spoken about in that mid-price bracket, Lee, and that's James Maddison. I think if he had scored a goal or two in the last couple of weeks, we'd be looking at 28 and 29 going, Maddison's probably our transfer in. And when I planned my wild card a couple of weeks back and I was looking at my potential transfers, I actually always planned on bringing Maddison in game week 28. And just because he hasn't scored or hasn't assisted, we shouldn't scrap that plan altogether. And again, like having those XG numbers on the FPL app and website are really useful. And we can see the data is absolutely there for Maddison. So in the last couple of game weeks, he's had a 0.89 expected goal involvement and a 0.5 expected goal involvement. He's playing very well and he is fit. And again, Leicester are a team I always like to back for a goal or two. Is he someone that's tempted you? Because the fixtures are kind of there for him. He has Brentford away and then the double game week is Palace and Villa.
Yeah, he looks good, doesn't he? And he was putting him on a plate, wasn't he, at the weekend? I mean, if only he had some players around him that could finish those assists and that XA potential that he's creating. I do like him, Johnny, but like you, I guess, I've got, you know, two Brighton midfielders. I've got Rashford in there. I'm not looking to sell him anytime soon. And then my two Arsenal boys. So where do you put him? That's the challenge. I do like him a lot. And I think the fixtures look okay. And what I do like about Maddison is that coming out of double game week 29. All right, there's a game against City at the Etihad in 31, but around that, it's Bournemouth at home in 30. It's Wolves at home currently in 32. So the fixtures don't look too bad coming out of the double game week as well. So I can see why FPL managers would go there. I just don't know where he'd fit. Could you fit him into your team? You're going to have treble Brighton, so presumably not.
Yeah, it definitely can't be treble Brighton and Madison. But likewise, the plan was always to sell an Arsenal midfielder come 28 for Madison, knowing Arsenal don't double in 29. I cannot sell Martinelli.
You can't right now, right?
And I don't think I can sell Saka either. We spoke earlier about being blinded by the double game weeks and ignoring some of our single game week puns. I think that Arsenal fixture to Leeds, for example, in the double game week, just Arsenal having won, could still be very fruitful for both Saka and Martinelli. So, yeah, I've got to hold those guys, which does probably rule out James Maddison with a heavy heart for me this week, I think.
All roads lead to selling Haaland, Gianni. How did we get here?
I think that's going to be the headline this week. I really do. And I think as the week goes on, as more and more people look at their teams and realise you can sell him and bring him back in a couple of transfers, in a couple of weeks, I think there'll be a lot of momentum moving towards that. And look, we'll probably see, we might even see a Haaland price dip, which will be really interesting. I don't think we've seen one of them this season. But look, it was great chatting, Lee. And look, FPL managers, don't forget, because there are still two games to go in game week 27. We've got Brentford, who travelled to Southampton, and Brighton welcome Palace midweek. So fingers crossed for some juicy green arrows still to come. And look, game week 28's just got those seven fixtures. So make sure we carefully manage how we get through those seven fixtures. And Kelly and Jules and Sam will be back on Thursday on the FPL pod to discuss that blank game week ahead. But please, before you leave, guys, thank you very much for listening. But if you could rate and review us, that would mean a lot. So for now, it's a goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me. Bye, guys.